Well, we have chickens at our house, and they're in a chicken coop in the backyard. And when I say chicken coop, I'm not exactly sure what image that brings into your mind, but this is like the Hilton of chicken coops. This one's nice. It came in a box, and we had to assemble it. And this is a nice chicken coop. We currently just have two chickens, and so they have plenty of room in their coop. Neither one of them lay eggs, and so they're basically pets living in our backyard in this really nice chicken coop. And Karen and Milbury Ann are the sole caregivers. I do nothing to care for these chickens, but my girls love on these chickens in our backyard. Now, it's been several weeks that we've had these chickens, and again, I've not lifted a hand to do anything to care for these chickens. But one thing that I have learned just from observation is how we have gotten the term pecking order. A pecking order, I think everybody's familiar with that term. It's a term that refers to a pattern of social organization that's based upon a hierarchy of status. The most dominant one is at the top of the pecking order, and the least dominant one is at the bottom of the pecking order, and then everybody else just sort of fits in between. That status that determines the order can be based upon many things. It can be based upon size or wealth or ability or intellect or age, you name it. Take my job at Trader Joe's as an example. Even though I'm the tallest employee, the pecking order is not based upon height. I've worked there 3 years now, but because I only work one shift a week, because I'm just a part-time employee, I'm actually pretty low on the pecking order. Now, I always knew we had gotten the term pecking order from chickens, but I had never before personally experienced or witnessed, I guess, how we got the term. So, to tell you the story, at one point we had three chickens. And one of the chickens was clearly the dominant one and wanted to make sure that the other two got the order correct. So JP named this chicken Tyrone, but it's a hen and so it's female. And so instead we named it Tyronita. And Tyronita lived up to its very dominant name. Now, one of the chickens clearly understood that Tyronita was to be at the top of the pecking order, but the other one just didn't get the message. The other one, it wasn't that she wanted to be at the top of the pecking order, it's just that she was kind of ignorant to the whole system. And so Tyronita pecked at her and pecked at her and pecked at her, wanting her to get into her proper place in the order. And she pecked at her so much that she ended up pecking her to death. Now it was sad. Life is hard on the Kaufman farm. But I witnessed that that is how we get the term pecking order. Now, perhaps you've personally experienced the reality of the pecking order in your social dynamic, at your job, in your class at school, or perhaps even in your family. Perhaps you've been yourself the Tyronita, or maybe you've been nearly pecked to death by the Tyronitas of the world. I share that with you because I want you to know that when God came into the world as a man to establish his kingdom, he came to do away with all the pecking orders that have been established. There are no pecking orders in God's kingdom because God is gentle and lowly in heart. During this season of Advent, as we anticipate and prepare for celebrating the birth of Jesus at Christmas, I'm going to be preaching from this text that Keith just read for us earlier. And these six verses contain these four sets of adjectives, and I'm using these adjectives to kind of take us through this text over these 4 weeks. The first week we looked at wise and learned, and last week was weary and burdened. Today is gentle and humble, and then next week is easy and light. But for today, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, Jesus speaks these glorious words to us. He says, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart." Now, when I preach, it's always with great care and sensitivity, because I'm talking about God's holy word. However, this week, I've really felt this weight, because I am specifically talking about the heart of Jesus. If I were standing up here and talking with you this morning about Karen's heart, I know I would want to do that with the greatest care and the utmost sensitivity. So my desire this morning is to honor Jesus well in speaking about his heart. As we begin, I want to share a quote with you from Charles Spurgeon. I actually shared one from him last week as well. He was a 19th century English preacher. And here's what he wrote. He wrote, "In the four gospel accounts given to us, 89 chapters." So if you take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 89 chapters that make up the gospels. "There's only one place where Jesus tells us about his heart. We learn much about his teaching, about his birth, about his ministry, about his disciples, but in only one place, perhaps the most wonderful words ever uttered by human lips, do we hear Jesus himself open up to us about his very own heart." That's really good, because it puts a proper emphasis on what Jesus shares in this verse. You see, what Jesus reveals to us here is very, very important. And I don't want you to miss it. He's saying to us that God is the most gentle and the most humble being in all the universe. Well, of course he is. He's God. But when given the opportunity to describe the heart of God, Jesus pulls back the curtain. And the adjectives he uses are gentle and humble. Now, if you were to describe God this morning with two adjectives, are these the two words that you would use? Really? You sure it wouldn't be holy and awesome, or omniscient and omnipotent? Gentle and humble? I mentioned a book to you last week titled Gentle and Lowly. It's by author Dane Ortlund. And I love what he writes about the adjective choices of Jesus in this verse. He writes, "In the one place in the Bible where the Son of God pulls back the veil and lets us peer way down into the core of who God is, we're not told that he's austere and demanding in heart. We're not told that he's exalted and dignified in heart. We're not even told that he's joyous and generous in heart. Letting Jesus set the terms, his surprising claims is that he is gentle and lowly in heart. Gentle and humble. Now, in both of the Old and New Testaments, when the Bible speaks about the heart, it's not referring to the center of our emotions. It's easy to think that, but instead, it's referring to our mission control. The heart is our headquarters for everything we do. It controls our motivations and our intentions. All of those come from the heart. The heart drives everything that we do. It's who we are at our very core. And Jesus tells us that who he is at his very core, what drives and motivates all that he does, is gentleness and humility. The Apostle Paul, in his writings, recognizes humility as the very core of who Jesus is. Does this in a couple of places, but most directly in Philippians chapter 2. This chapter is one of the most well-known from Paul's writings, and it's also all about Christ's humility. Beginning in verse 5, he wrote, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Did you hear Paul in these verses affirming that humility is who Jesus is at his very core? We are to have an attitude like Jesus, who, being in very nature God, in other words, Jesus, who at his very core is God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. So Jesus, who according to the writer of Hebrews, is the exact representation of God's being, is humble at his core. Author John Ortberg writes, "When Jesus came in the form of a servant, he was not disguising who God is. He was revealing who God is." Jesus was revealing who God is in his heart, at his core, in his very nature. Thomas Godwin, a 16th century English bishop, wrote, "We are apt to think that God, being so holy, therefore has a severe and sour disposition against sinners. No, Jesus says, I am meek. Gentleness is my nature and my temperament." Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, "I am gentle and humble in heart." I want for us to look at these two words translated as gentle and humble in the NIV 84. The ESV translates these two words as gentle and lowly. The King James Version reads meek and lowly. They're two very similar words that both describe humility, but in different ways. And I want to talk about those differences this morning. The first word occurs two other times in the Gospel of Matthew. The first time is in the Beatitudes. It's found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5 when Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek." There's our word. "For they will inherit the earth." The other time is in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 5 when Matthew quotes the prophecy from Zechariah 9:9 to show how Jesus fulfills fulfills this prophecy through his entry into Jerusalem. It reads, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey." So this word, this first word of the pair, is best translated as meek or gentle. And there's a reason for that translation. It's a word that describes what we would call the virtue humility. It is a behavioral word, meaning it describes how someone who is humble in heart behaves. You don't have to wonder if someone is humble in heart or not. Just watch how they behave. You see, someone who is humble in heart treats others with meekness. Someone who's humble in heart deals gently with others. That's how they behave. It's a behavioral word. This is what the Hebrew writer says about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 2. We read that Jesus is able to deal gently with those who are both ignorant and are going astray. So gentle is a behavioral word. It describes how someone who is humble in heart behaves towards others. And someone who is humble in heart is able to deal gently with others, even those, the Hebrews writer tells us, who are ignorant and going astray. Perhaps it might be easy enough to deal gently with those who are kind. Perhaps it's not too difficult to deal gently with those who are appreciative. But Jesus is humble in heart and able to deal gently even with those who are ignorant and those who are disobedient. So the word means humble, and it's a behavioral word. It's how one who is humble in heart behaves towards others. The second word also means humble, but instead of it being a behavioral word, it's a positional word. This is why in a lot of the versions it's translated as lowly. You see, it literally means to take a low position. This word was actually found in an early non-biblical document where it was used to refer to the Nile River in its lowest stage. The word literally means not rising far from the ground. So then, how does taking a low position, how does not rising far from the ground help us to understand who Jesus is at his core, at his mission control? Well, he tells us that he's lowly in his heart. So it doesn't mean that he walks around all crouched over like this, but it does mean that in his very core, he does not rise far from the ground. It means that Jesus, in his heart, takes the low position. He does not position himself above. Think about it with me. Positionally, like this. I'm a tall guy, so whenever I have opportunity to speak or interact with a little child, if I stay straight up and tall and try to speak to them like this, I tend to scare them a little bit because I'm so tall. So if I have that opportunity to speak to a young child, I will take a low position with them. Perhaps I'll even get down on a knee, right? I'll get down, as we say, onto their level so that I can get to know them. Theologians like to use all of the omni words to describe God. Omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, omni everything. But part of what the Christmas story tells us is that our omni God took a low position in order to be on our level, to get to know us, to understand our situation. You see, someone who is lowly in heart is willing to go low in order to know. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, he did not hold on to all the omnis. Instead, he made himself low in order to know. He did not position himself above us. He did not consider himself better than us or bigger than us or smarter than us in order to know us. This is what it means to be lowly in heart. Think about it positionally in another way. What is a way of describing someone whose heart is full of pride, which is the opposite of humility? When someone's heart is full of pride, we will say that they look down on other people, right? Well, if we're thinking about this positionally, someone who is lowly in heart does not look down on anyone else. You literally cannot look down on someone else from a low position. So Jesus was lowly in heart, meaning he does not look down on others. Jesus is humble in heart, both behaviorally and positionally. One commentator explains the difference in the two words in this way. He says, by saying he's gentle and humble in heart, he's encouraging us that God isn't going to be cross with us like an angry school teacher. That's the behavioral part. And he isn't going to stand over us like a policeman. That's the positional part. The story of Jesus' birth that we celebrate at Christmas reveals both the gentle and lowly heart of God. Jesus was born in a manger, not a palace. He was born to an unwed teenage girl, not a queen. When the angel of the Lord came to announce his arrival, he came to shepherds, not to the scholarly. He came to the uneducated hirelings who watched the flocks of others, to the nobodies of their culture who had such a bad reputation that the scholars lumped them together with the godless and restricted them from even the outer courtyards of the temple. God is not disguising who he is. He is revealing to us who he is. The Christmas story is not a random set of circumstances, not a coincidence that it went down this way. All of it reveals to us who God is in His heart. His perfection does not make Him proud. His correctness does not make Him condescending. His rightness does not make Him rude. His sovereignty does not make Him superior. His holiness does not make Him higher. For there's no pecking order in the kingdom of God. Jesus says, "Come to me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us when you arrived here on the earth 2,000 years ago. Thank you for these precious words from your Son that reveal your heart to us. Lord, may these words be used by your Holy Spirit. Change us, to shape us, to lead us, to encourage us this season. Jesus, we love you. We celebrate your life. We celebrate your death. We celebrate the eternal life that we have with you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.